7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day for Kia. You can step up into their all-new Kia Stonix SUV and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. If you want to join us, get on the line now, 13 13 32, and it's an exciting climax up in Brisbane. But for all things real estate, you can speak to them. And for McDonald's, where the saucy McRib and legendary El Macco are back at Macca's this summer for a limited time. Scoop, it's been an epic struggle all day in Brisbane. The rain has stayed away, and India have not gone away. Again, frustrating Australia's much-vaunted bowling attack. Currently, they're 5 for 276, needing 52 more runs to win, with just under 9 overs to bowl, with Rishabh Pant and Washington Sundar looking pretty comfortable. Scoop, there'd be much excitement right around India, but we can now go to Delhi with the prospect of one of their most memorable test match wins in their much-heralded history. One of their finest cricketing journos and commentators would be cock-a-hoop, I'm sure.
Chetan Narula joins us straight off the top of the program. Chetan, welcome, and what an unbelievable turnaround this has been, even if they don't get the win in the end, with still 52 needed off 8 overs.
Absolutely, guys. It's actually bonkers right now. I'm actually close to a heart attack. Every ball, my heart stops. I mean, I'm an 80s, 90s kid. I have seen Indian cricket teams struggle. I remember 96, the World Cup heartbreak in Kolkata, 99, Chennai Test match heartbreak. Oh, my God. This is unbearable. I can't watch this, to be honest.
You didn't have to tell us you're an 80s, 90s man, Chet. And anybody who uses the word bonkers, we know exactly that you're from that vintage. But put this into perspective. They've got 50-odd to get. In fact, they need 50 more runs to win. Nathan Lyon is currently bowling. There's 8 overs to play. I mean, if they don't lose wickets, they win this match. Where would it rate as far as your test match victories go in, let's say, in the last 40 years?
Right at the top, but I just don't want to get ahead of myself. Look, yes, 50 needed of 8. How many times have we seen, you know, this sort of run chase on day 5 in the final hours play? Maybe last year or the year before that when Ben Stokes did it to you guys at Headingley. I mean,
thanks for bringing that up, Chetan. We really appreciate that. We enjoy remembering that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a great match for the neutrals, I'm sure. And I can only imagine what the Australian and English fans went through during that match. And I'm actually living through it right now. So I can only imagine what the Australian fans must be going through. But it is possible. Anything is possible. All 4 results are possible, aren't they? I mean, that's the beauty of sport. That's the beauty of cricket at the moment. As long as Pant is there's a chance. And, yes, that's all I'll say.
And, Jared, it's the beauty of Test cricket, because 8 minutes ago when you and I were talking and, you know, you're writing your editorial and I'm watching the screen, they were going to win. Yep. It was just a matter of Pant staying there. Since then, Cummins and Lyon have bowled 2 back-to-back ripping overs. Cummins is in the middle of another one now. It's a dot ball. And with every ball that goes by of this sort of quality, it's becoming harder and harder for India to win. But still, of course, a draw gets them the board of Gavaskar series.
Well, they just slipped one round the corner, just 49 to win. Can you tell us, Chetan, how are you watching it? Are you listening to Australian commentary or are you listening to Indian commentary?
No, I'm watching it on my television screen. Sony have the broadcast rights. So they're mixing the Australian and Indian commentary. So they have a commentary booth set up in Mumbai in their studios. So they're mixing it with the Australian feed as well. So, but now, right now, we have the Indian feed. We have Sanjay Manjrekar and Nick Knight. I think this is the last half an hour, I would say. So this is going to be the Indian feed. So, yeah, watching the Australian feed, but with a mix of Australian and Indian commentary.
Will there be celebrations in the street, Chetan, if, in fact, you get up and win?
No, I think it's middle of the day and half the people are at work or working from home, as is the new normal. But there'll be a lot of excited people. I'm sure they'll be chatting about it for a long, long, very, very long time. India-Australia is the new India-Pakistan. This is the big rivalry of Indian cricket. Probably you guys have another rivalry to take care of this year, later this year again, Australia-England. But as concerns Indian cricket, this is right at the top. We don't play Pakistan too much any longer. So to win this match, that would be unprecedented. You had asked me where would it be in the last 40 years. I mean, it's been that long since Australia lost the test match at Brisbane. So, yeah. it's going to be mega. And mind you, just want to rub it in, this is a third-string Indian side.
Yeah, third stringers. Yeah, now we understand that they'll be wanting to be paid like first stringers if they can knock the Aussies off. Can you tell us, is Delhi in hard lockdown?
No, we're not in hard lockdown. Our hard lockdown ended in July last year. Since then, India has been in various stages of reopening. You know, as many people who can work from home, they're working from home. Slowly, the economy, because the Indian economy is a bit fragile. So we've had to open up a bit and people are taking precautions. The number of cases have really dropped down all over the country. In July, August, we were having around 100,000 cases every day. But now it's only 16,000 cases for the last 2 days.
Chetan, you are an Indian broadcaster. Feel free to break into commentary at any stage. Now, I'm not sure if you're in delay, but Washington Sundar has just knocked Cummins over the fence for six. Now, next time there's a boundary, just break into some commentary for us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Swiveled on that shot. Just too nervous, too much nervous energy right now. But that was a shot delivery from Pat Cummins, and he just swiveled on the back foot. And what a shot to play it. And what a time to play it,
He's gone again.
Because, we're all, you know, bounding with nervous energy. So.
And he's gone again, Chetan. And this time, not quite as luxurious in the shot that he played before. It was a slash outside off stump, I think the only way you could describe it. It's flown over gully, and of course no third man at this time of the game. It has gone for four, and suddenly Jared and Chetan, in the space of two balls, the game has turned on its head again. They are now 289, edging closer to what they need, and it's now less than a run a ball with seven overs remaining.
And fair to say, Chetan, that
the majority of the
Indian crowd basically couldn't give a stuff about social distancing right now.
No, nor they should.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think I'm sitting alone in my room, so I'm socially distanced from everyone. But it's crazy. At the moment, it's crazy. I'm pretty sure my timeline is on Twitter is going absolutely bonkers right now because I've been telling them, you know what, play calmly, just play watchfully, play for a draw, and suddenly they are. This is generation of today. This is the IPL generation, isn't it? I mean, they don't know any fear. They know aggression. They can win any match. That's the confidence inherent when they come to the international stage. That's the confidence they carry with themselves. They don't have to build it up. I mean, who thought Rishabh Pant and Washington Sundar, the first test match? Look at those sixes and fours. I mean, wow.
Well, we saw one of your much-heralded batsmen go out to a similar shot to the one we just saw, the ramp shot. He's been criticised. But if they come off, everybody thinks they're sensational. And Pant has just knocked line over the boundary line for four with a ramp shot.
It's almost like, Jared, Chetan knew that was going to happen because he started to talk about the importance of international T20 and the Big Bash in the IPL, which I think is a really good point because 15 years ago, this wouldn't have seemed as likely as it is now. But these guys now know how to pick different deliveries. They can get 15 off and over if they really need to. And I tell you what, Rishabh Pant has gone again. My eyes are deceiving. I thought it might have been a six. In fact, it was a low four, a slog sweep. And this game now...
You can't lose from here, Chetan. Wow. You cannot lose from
here. No.
Are you prepared to celebrate?
He's had the ramp shot. probably very happy. I don't know how else to celebrate. This is a game we follow for our passion and because it's just so crazy. I mean, oh my word, he's gone again over mid-wicket. And that's what, a four or a six?
Just a four.
This is a four again.
Yeah, we just worked it.
Two back-to-back fours. Yeah, this is going to be an Indian win. This is unbelievable. This
Indeed.
Is unbelievable what I'm seeing.
We just worked something out, Scoop. There's about a 12-second delay between our TV coverage and yours.
So
we'll let you know when you win. He's just flashed another one through the point area. And right now, they
just
need just 31 runs off 39 balls. Tell us how you've seen the Indian innings to date.
Oh, it's been a calculated innings. I think they've decided that they're going to bat around Cheteshwar Pujara because you need to hold one end up and you need to attack from the other end. And that's what they did with Shubman Gill. And especially with the way Ajinkya Rahane batted because he didn't bat for too long. He played some expansive strokes in his 20-ball stay. But you could just see the intent that Pujara is going to hold one end up and from the other end up, they're going to attack and go for runs. And then at the end of the day, they would see they are, and then they would leave it to Rishabh Pant.
Sorry, Chetan, sorry to interrupt. Nathan Lyon has either bowled the old school arm ball, Jared, or it's hit a crack. It has missed everyone. Washington, and most importantly, Tim Payne. And that is the most expensive four buys we have seen in Test cricket in some time. It has gone the other way.
Chetan, right now, Rishabh is pulling Australia's pants down and giving us a nice old spanking. This is just going to be talked about for a long, long time in your country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And in your country.
No, we've forgotten about it.
It's been that sort of a test series. it's been that sort of a test series, hasn't it? I mean, it's been a remarkable test series. The last time we saw such a remarkable India-Australia test series, 2001. 2003-04 came close with Saurav Ganguly's side coming there, but they didn't quite win. But this is, like I mentioned, this is not even the first string Indian side. They're missing so many names. This is, unbelievable is the word. I'm actually running out of words. It's unbelievable, to be honest.
Just to confirm, 15 off that Nathan Lyon over. It's now 24 runs from 36 balls.
It's a spanking. Can you tell me, can you believe that you could win the series after you were bowled out in Adelaide for 36 runs?
No, at that time I thought if we escaped with just 2-0 or 3-0 with rain washing off one of the test matches, that would be nice.
Right
I'll
now,
be very, very honest.
Right man. Now, you just
yeah.
need
right
36 runs to win the match. You couldn't make
it's
26.
Bonkers. 24,
it's
24 from 36.
Bonkers.
Oh, 36 balls in first.
It's absolutely bonkers.
It's going bonkers for sure.
It's absolutely bonkers. I mean, it was bonkers an hour ago. India were with an hour to spare, with 20 overs to spare. They were 100 away from winning this after 36 all out. I mean, on day 5 of the fourth test, with everything that's gone around the series, because everything, there's always so much going around in Australia. It's been bonkers for a while now. And thanks for calling, guys. Thanks for having me on, because it's been a bit of a calming relief.
Don't
otherwise
go
my
away.
He might keep you on,
don't
Chetan.
Don't go away, Chetan.
not going anyway.
India 5 for 304. They need 24 runs from 36 balls. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll see this thing through. Welcome back to Sports Day for McDonald's. 7 new flavours of frozen Coke at Macca's. It is available now. An unbelievable, unprecedented, crazy, or as Chetan has called it, bonkers finish to this test match. India, 5 for 309, needing 19 more runs from 33 deliveries. Washington Sundar, 21 from 24 deliveries. An incredible test debut from him. And Rishabh Pant, 76 from 131 balls, playing unbelievably. Australia simply need a wicket out of nowhere, as Washington has tried to play over fine leg. It has gone over second slip for four leg buys, and they edge closer, Jared.
Indeed they do. We can now go back to Delhi, where Chetan Narula joins us, albeit in 10-second delay. Chetan, I can tell you now that you are 5 for 313. Washington's at the crease. He's just knocked another boundary, and you are just a couple of shots away from victory.
Wow. While you were talking, I just saw the boundary. I mean, it's gone through for a leg by over the slip cordon. I can't believe this. I mean, this is a victory for the IPL, really. I just want to put it out there, because a lot of people have questioned, why the IPL, or whether it's good enough or not. Not taking anything away from, the test cricket stalwarts, somebody like a Cheteshwar Pujara, who doesn't really play the IPL anymore. But again, it's the self-belief. I mean, this is a debutant, Washington Sundar.
Yeah.
And it's not the second innings that's what he's doing. You look at the first innings, Shardul Thakur, he played a test match 2 years back, got injured in the first over that he bowled, and now he's playing test cricket again after 2 years. Washington Sundar, debut test match. it's just the confidence these guys have, and the belief, the self-belief, and where to pick the runs. I mean, look at Rishabh Pant, the way he's batted. Unbelievable.
You say it's the third string Indian side, and I accept that. There's a lot of guys not there, but clearly your depth with the IPL has gone through the roof. How many players do you think you've got that could play at test level, like the debutants that have expressed themselves magnificently in this test?
I think there are quite a few. I would say quite a few, because, you look at Kolkata Knight Riders, they have three young Indian pacers in the age group of 19 to 21. And we haven't, I mean, they were among the net bowlers during the ODIs, and two of them were the net bowlers during ODIs and T20s. One was a net bowler from Rajasthan Royals. There are two wicketkeepers waiting, two wicketkeeper batsmen, if you remember Ishan Kishan the other day. Probably not going to need him anytime soon, the way Rishabh Pant is batting. Shubman Gill, he's just come up. He's the future of Indian batting. Prithvi Shaw probably needs some more time in domestic cricket. KL Rahul is not even in the test side right now. Virat Kohli is not there, of course. So KL Rahul has a lot of cricket ahead of him in his future.
Well, just hold your line there for one sec, because Nathan Lyon's coming in to bowl, and they are trying to finish this pretty quickly, Scoop. If you can just call the final couple of balls. And Chetan, we'd like you to call it, but you're actually 15 seconds in delay. But right now, they are 5 for 314. They are one boundary away. And Washington Sundar Scoop has the chance to hit one of the most memorable boundaries in Indian history.
They still need 14 runs. 14 runs from 29 balls.
Oh, I've got it wrong. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Nathan Lyon is into another over. 1 for 81, Nathan Lyon, from his 30 overs so far. They simply just need a wicket. They need a miracle, Australia, to get out of this. As Nathan Lyon walks in and bowls to Washington, who slashes outside off stump through extra cover for a single. Cam Green does the fielding, and Rishabh Pant is back on strike. India now edge close to 13 runs needed.
Sorry, Chetan, I just got a little bit ahead of myself there. Maths has never been my strong suit, but I'm 10 behind. Right now you need 13 to win, which is only just a couple of sixes over the top. Yeah. Tell me where the credit is going to go for this victory. And we're talking in past tense, I guess, at this stage, given that we're just assuming that the miracle victory is about to unfold.
I think the massive credit for me, it goes to Ravi Shastri and the support staff. I mean, you don't have half the seniors unavailable. They're unavailable because of injury. They've had people flying in, flying out all the time. Washington Sundar was a net bowler. He was part of the test squad as a net bowler. He's playing his first test. Mohammad Siraj lost his father before the series even got underway, and he could not go home because of the pandemic rules. Mm. Just from that fact, I mean, somebody who loses his father, and Mohammad Siraj is playing cricket for India today because his father believed in him, because it was not just Mohammad Siraj's dream, it was also his father's dream. So he's living his father's dream, couldn't go and attend the funeral, but he's doing so well. He's leading the bowling, he led the bowling attack in the third test match that he's played. You need to work on the mental aspect of things when such situations are involved. And I think Ravi Shastri, Bharat Arun, the physiotherapist, the fielding coach, the batting coach.
Chetan, I'm going to have to cut you off. Australia have a breakthrough. Am I witnessing that?
Washington's been bowled.
He's been bowled. Washington trying a
reverse sweep.
We talk about the IPL influence. Trying a reverse sweep and trying to finish it in style. I only didn't know that he'd been bowled because he was staying at the crease. Looked like he might have done himself an injury in actually attempting that shot, maybe a groin. Nathan Lyon bowling around the wicket.
Yeah.
It's the one that went straight on. It's in fact, he's played on a little bit on his gloves. So they get a breakthrough. It probably feels, Jared, too little too late.
What we may do, Chetan, is we may take another break here now and come back. I'll be interested in your thoughts on that particular shot. It was pretty much exactly what he's been doing all innings, but unnecessary.
A little unnecessary.
I would have thought...
But again, hallmark of the IPL generation. Really.
Yeah, I reckon he was bonkers trying that shot.
I have a question for you.
We'll come back with your question. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's 6 for 223. Pant has just tried to give his wicket away. We can now go to the centre of the cricketing world up in Delhi in India, where they are just hanging on the edge of their seat for this magnificent victory that is surely about to follow. We can be rejoined, I should say, by Chetan Arula, Indian number one broadcaster. He joins us to witness this magnificent victory. Welcome back, Chetan.
Yeah, cheers, guys. I was going to ask before the break if you guys believe in miracle, but just 6 runs needed. I'm not sure if any miracles are going to work now.
We've seen that movie before, but I think it's going to be made by the Indian broadcasters, not by the Australian ones.
Five runs needed now from just 22 balls. Shardul has come in. He's only faced one ball. It was a very solid defensive shot to Nathan Lyon, but this will be the first time he's faced Josh Hazlewood. To start the over, Pant played a lovely pull shot. Played it quite fine, it must be said, but it did beat fine leg, and then has played a single, although he could have been caught. Chardle's just done the right thing and has played one down to fine leg and just a single. So they're now 4-0. In fact, they've come back for a second, three runs away, and Jared, now they are a boundary away.
I was talking to one of our cricket broadcasters on the way in. Tom Morris is his name, Chetan, and I just asked, do you think we went a little bit earlier after Adelaide trying to describing our attack, at least some have described our attack, as the greatest potentially of all time in Australia. Right now, they have had back-to-back pretty average tests.
Did you mean the greatest Australian bowling attack?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I'm sorry to say that, because I've seen Glenn McGrath, Jason Gillespie, Brett Lee, Shane Warne. Mm. Nothing ever beats that. No way. Probably the second best attack, but the problem with this bowling attack is that, you know, you're playing back-to-back four test matches in a staying in a bio bubble. It gets a bit repetitive, and on pitches like these, sometimes on day five, when there's not much on offer, when you can chase 300 so easily, you know, it gets a little tough. So
it's got a little bit tougher now. I've got to butt in again, Chet. No, yeah. I do apologise. We're in delay. You will now just be seeing another wicket fall. It's now 7 for Australia. Are still alive, but barely.
Yep, Shardul playing a very strange shot. I'm not sure if it was a change of pace from Josh Hazlewood. Just from the naked eye, it looked like it may have been. Trying to play one square and just get off strike, he spooned it to Nathan Lyon at square leg. And India now 7 for 325. Three needed. I'm not sure if they crossed, Jared.
And now we come to this tale that, according to many commentators I've listened to, is one of the worst tales in cricket as we speak.
Oh, absolutely. Five number 11s. I mean, Sundar and Shardul Thakur are sure in the first inning that they can bat, but this is a totally different situation. Let's say number 9s and 10s, but yeah. Three runs. I seriously can't believe if we have another twist in the tail here. But I wouldn't be surprised given how the series has gone.
Navdeep Saini is the man that has come in at number 9, and it looks to me like they didn't cross. So he will have to face at least two balls from Josh Hazlewood. India 7 for 325. No, they did cross, in fact. So some smart running by Rishabh Pant. And that changes things a little bit, Jared, because they would have loved two balls at the new batsman.
Indeed it does. But it gives, I think, Rishabh Pant his just desserts, and that is the opportunity to hit the winning run. Heaven help us, Shetton, if he goes out this ball. Scoop, call this ball for Shetton.
Oh, no.
So he gets it 12 seconds ahead of anyone else in India.
Well, Chetan has called it would be the greatest Indian victory in Test cricket in the last 40 years. We may even be going further back, but that's time for reflection. The time now is for this ball. India need three runs for a monumental victory. Josh Hazlewood steams in over the wicket. He's bowled leg side. It's almost a wide. It was so wide. Rishabh Pant wasn't even able to get any bat on it. And it stays at 7 for 325. And they have one Josh Hazlewood ball remaining in this over.
I reckon there would have been half a billion Indians go up as once, Chetan, saying that was a wide.
Yeah. Don't get wide too easily in Test cricket. Pretty sure Australia would want to not deny him that single unless he strikes a boundary of this ball. It's a tough compromise, isn't it, just setting the field, because if you bring the fielders in, he might stroke a boundary. I'll let you guys
last ball of the fourth last over. He comes in again. He bowls full outside the off stump. It beats short mid off. They're going to come back. In fact, there's no one there.
That's
it. It's a boundary. India have won. Rishabh Pant fist bumps the air, and
I
think, Jared, those half a billion Indians watching have gone bonkers as well, and justly so. What a victory.
Well, describe it as you see it for us, Chet.
Yes.
Describe it as you see it.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, bonkers. I'm still waiting to watch it. One ball remaining as pumps. I can go now. I mean, punt. I can go again. I mean, I can describe it again. Josh Hazlewood on the top of his mark. 3 needed. Can Australia make sure that he doesn't get strike, or can he get that boundary in? 3 needed. Hazlewood, 2 slips in position. As Fuller delivery, he's driven it past the fielder at short. Mid-off, and that's gone down the ground for 4. What a win! What a win as the Indian players run on. What a win! It's one of the greatest test wins for India in their cricket history. Wow. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I hope I've done justice to that moment.
You have, Chetan and Jared. I don't think I've ever been so excited to
see Australia lose.
To see Australia lose for a second time on delay.
And everybody rightfully went over to Pant and gave him a pat on the back. And the Australians are out there shaking their hands. It's one of those victories, I think, that you'd be devastated if you're in the team, but you couldn't help but be just so admiring of the opposition's efforts. And everyone is grasping for a stump. There'll be a punch on in the change rooms as to
they dug in.
By the Indians to get a memorabilia stump.
Oh, absolutely. You might need 22 stumps or something like that for every member of the every member of the squad there. Maybe a turf of the Gabba. I mean, I don't know. To win at the Gabba, I mean, it's unbelievable. I've been to that ground. It's so imposing. Not as imposing as the MCG, but it's just so unbelievably tough to win there because Australia are just so much at home. And sometimes India do try and avoid playing at the Gabba, but after this, I don't think there'll be any avoiding.
It's amazing when you think back just 10 days, I reckon it was, Chetan, that there was a pretty strong view that the Indians had their spirit broken, that they'd given up, and that they were actually looking for a reason not to go to Brisbane. And yet, some 4 or 5 days after the decision was made, they've come through and made this incredible victory.
I mean, nobody gave them a chance, did they, after the 36 all out? It's just unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, like I said, I mean, if they would have lost 3-0 after the 36 all out, not just Sydney, because I wouldn't say they barely saved the test match because that was one of the most heroic batting performances in Sydney. But even then, going into Brisbane with the bowling attack, and we spoke 3 days back when I said nobody is going to hold it against them if they don't win this match. And here we are 3 days later, what, 3.5 days later, we were talking about an Indian win. I mean, this is beyond the wildest dreams of any Indian cricket fan, cricket journalist, anybody who's covered Indian cricket for a long, long, long time.
Chetan, it's been described on Fox Cricket as a miracle victory. You've made it a memorable miracle victory for us with your commentary and your generosity of your time. And it's just been a pleasure listening to the enjoyment that it's given you, and thanks for giving our listening audience some of your time because
well done,
you've made it truly memorable.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me, and thanks for keeping me sane for the last half an hour. It would have been tough to keep calm otherwise.
And congratulations, Chetan. Chetan Narula there, quickly becoming one of the great broadcasters there in Delhi. And Jared, you mentioned 500 million Indians just going nuts for this result. Text just coming through from someone who works for one of the large banks across the world in Kuala Lumpur. My Indian manager just postponed a meeting. I wonder why.
Got a few issues with our own banks, which you'll read about tomorrow. Time now for a Tyre Power sports update, and that is Australia have just been beaten by India in one of the most miraculous victories of all time.
Goodness
on our shores. Tyre Power rewarding you more. Save $100 off selected Cooper 4-wheel drive tyres. Our quarantine correspondent, Barbara Stritzova. She's going to join us from inside the hotel room.
Has she been watching?
She would have been. She joins us after this.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy. If you're just tuning in, India have just won one of the more incredible test matches we have ever seen with 18 balls to spare, no less. Rishabh Pant, what an incredible innings has led them to a fourth test win by 3 wickets.
And they're doing the victory lap as we speak at the Gabba. It's we haven't seen this ever, I don't think, from a touring team, a victory of the of the series up at the Gabba. They've got the Indian flag out. They're just having a whale of a time.
We're just about to go to Barbora Stritsova, of course, who's now become our latest quarantine correspondent. Just before we do, just give me 15 seconds, Jared. Off the top of my head, two people that would like their time again. Tim Payne, we already know, has apologised, yep, saying to Ashwin, can't wait to get you to the Gabba. That didn't age well. And James Warden, the new CEO of Channel 7, complaining about the cricket and trying to get rid of it, that the quality of cricket in the summer wouldn't be that good.
Well, we all make mistakes. The issue is you just got to put your hand up and get on with the job. Let's go into quarantine land, though. This is what I've been looking forward to all day. They're ready for you at Tommy Ruff's Barbora. And tell us, how did you start the day today? Day three or four in quarantine. Welcome again.
Hi, everybody. Well, I started today. Today, I didn't sleep really well. The jet lag kind of like messed my sleep. Yeah. So I went to bed around 2 o'clock and woke up at 7:30. So it wasn't a great night, but then I kicked it off and I had a ride bike, very tough one, which killed me for half of a day. And then I just finished another training. So it went pretty quick this day.
And have you had any weights turned up or any other form of apparatus for you to train with?
Oh, actually, they did. Actually, 1 hour ago, they brought me some dumbbells and kettlebells, and they also brought me some box of fruit. So we are very good.
A lot of the tennis players are following your lead. Victoria Azarenka has basically asked her compatriots to get some perspective, to accept, to adapt, and to keep moving. And that was your message essentially yesterday. But gee, it's flammable, this situation. Roberto Bautista Agut, he's compared it to jail, and boy, the whole country's just about jumped on top of him.
Yeah, I saw that about Victoria today, the message, and I'm very happy about it. And I hope it's going to turn the players to a mood where they will they will appreciate that they can be even here in the quarantine, but I just want us to go through this, and we will, and then the days will be much better after we will pass the 14 days.
Barbora, tell us, as a professional athlete, so you wake up, you put yourself through a pretty grueling workout. What's the quarantine breakfast look like for you?
Well, I just got today oatmeal with some nuts. I have to say that breakfasts are so good. But I am eating my breakfast around 1 o'clock because I am doing the intermittent fasting. So I'm finishing at 8 and eating around 1 o'clock. So my breakfast is kind of like also a lunch.
Well, I'm a little bit
faster, Jared. Very interesting.
And why are you doing that? Is that high performance recommendations?
Well, I have been doing it even though when I was home for 2 months under lockdown. So I feel much better, and I don't think that our bodies needs to eat all the time. So I'm doing 16 hours not eating and 8 hours of eating. And especially right now in the quarantine, I think it's really good.
Now, what are you looking most forward to, the singles event or the doubles event, where you, I think, are still ranked number one after your Wimbledon title last year?
Well, my partner is number one. I'm number two, but both. I'm looking for both competitions, but I'm missing my partner, Su Wei, because we were playing last year finals, and it was a really great 2 weeks. We played a great tennis, so I can't wait to be back, but also performing in my singles, because I still I'm doing both. And then I'm doing also mixed doubles.
Oh, how are you doing that with?
I'm a very busy girl.
Indeed you are. How are you doing that with?
I'm playing with Mekic. He won last year mix or finals. I'm not sure, actually. But, yeah, I can't wait. I don't play so much mix, but it's going to be fun.
So what's the great combination between yourself and Su Wei? Why are you such a great combination?
I guess because we are so different. Mm-hmm. We are so, so different. I'm very energetic and emotional, and she's very calm and quiet. So I guess that works.
Now, I got a photo of me.
I am energetic?
I know. I can pick that up. I can see that you'd be a great person to be in a team with. You're an energizer. I got given a photo of you inside quarantine, and it looked like you had an engagement ring on your finger. Is that right? Is that an engagement ring?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. You didn't tell us about the engagement.
Oh my God, what is happening?
When's the big event?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
Barbora, you have to be ready for all types of questions from Jared. That's all I can warn you about for the next 2 weeks.
Wow, but no one asked me that before, and you are the first person.
I've got good observation. When did he propose, and where did he propose?
Well, he proposed in Czech Republic on a mountain where it was very, very cold, like minus 10, and was so much wind. It was on 6th December.
So you've been engaged.
I feel like a lot of women wouldn't like that setting for being an engagement, Barbora.
Yeah. I couldn't even see him because it was so cloudy and it was snowing, you know. But it was just like perfect proposal.
And what's the best thing about him?
He is understandable what I do, and he's there for me.
Yes. And is he going? I mean, is he coming to Australia through this period, or have you given him a rest?
No, I gave him a rest.
Barbora, great to have you on. We've run out of time. We're going to cover a whole range of issues during the quarantine correspondence.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. I hope you sleep better tonight.
Thank you, thank you for having me. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Barbora Stritzova, world number 38, and quickly becoming the best part of sports.
You didn't know she was engaged, did you?
No, I didn't. But she said yesterday it was a boyfriend.
That's right. It's research.
We'll be back on Sports Day after this.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Kia. You can step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That is Red Energy. The big news of the day is that Australia is beaten for the first time at the Gabba. Since 1988, India have pulled off one of the most miraculous victories that we've seen from any team on these shores, which would have made a former great mate of mine proud that cricket entertained us so much for the last month or so. 17 years ago, sadly, my great mate David Hooks passed away. Hooksy, we're still thinking of you, still believing in you, and we do miss you each and every day that I open up this program. So you would have been proud of what cricket did for us today, mate. And Scoop, you're sitting in his chair now, and he'd be proud of the way you're going about it as well.
Very honoured to be here. Beautifully said, Jared. Unbelievable victory by India. I feel like we'll be talking about that, not just how the Indians played, Jared, but how we played.
He would have loved it that it was a left-hander too that got him across the line.
Vale, Hooksy. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
Yes, welcome back to Sports Day. Thanks to Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That is Red Energy. And don't forget, for the latest in sport, you're about to receive all the bulletins. It's brought to you by Vic Emergency. Being prepared for fire could save your life, so download the Vic Emergency app at emergency.vic.gov.au. Emergency up at the Gabba, Scoop, and the emergency is that the Australian cricket team have lost the unlosable series. And when you reflect back on it, it was only a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks, maybe four, prior to Christmas, where we went to the Christmas break with a one-all draw after a win in Adelaide where we bowled out India for 36 runs.
Yeah.
How we ended up losing that series.
It's quite incredible.
And not just losing it because of we lost the trophy, but we actually lost the series is unbelievable.
And Chetan Narula, who joined us for a lot in the first hour, actually did refer to, and I joked with him about it, headingly in 2019.
Mm.
I mean, we know how to be on the wrong end of a close test match like that. Edgbaston 2005 still is very much in my memory. I'm not sure about yours, Jared. I'm sure there's plenty of others going back before the 2000s.
I remember one in India where we lost an unlosable. It might have been in Australia, but the Indians got us, and we had them absolutely cold. I'm just trying to think of the Indian batsman who made a really strong ton. It was about the fifth or sixth wicket. They put on about 200 to just get across the line.
The biggest ever fourth innings chase at the Gabba. Previously, the record was 236, which the West Indies chased down successfully in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
And Australia's last defeat at the Gabba was 1988.
Yep.
Good year, 88, actually.
Yes, very good year. good wine.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, you know, we spent a lot of the last hour, and we will continue to do so in the coming days, praising India's unbelievable performance.
Yeah, but the microscope is going to turn rapidly tomorrow.
Very, very quickly.
All the heavyweights in the cricketing world are going to spend the next week analysing.
And look, some, you know, there will be things that are pointed out that David Warner wasn't fully fair.
Bad selection.
Will Pekowski, you know, went in underdone given his concussion and, you know, then injured himself again with his shoulder. Should they have continued to select Matthew Wade over Travis Head? You know, there's going to be a lot of questions over that. Nathan Lyon, why he had such a poor series by his lofty standards. And that's not being harsh on him. He had a poor series.
Didn't get the wickets done.
Mitchell Stark had a poor series as well.
Captain had a poor series. Not bad with a bat. Not bad. Not great, but not bad.
Yeah.
Really strong innings in Adelaide.
The verbal stuff
Adelaide.
Didn't help him.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't.
No, I know it wasn't a big deal.
It wasn't that bad, but it put a target on his back.
That's right. And you don't need to do that when you're the skipper and you're in a tough series.
Mm.
And Pat Cummins, I guess, will be the silver lining, Jared, named player of the series. Yep. 21 or 22 wickets, I think he took. He was the only
Does
one.
Does Mitch Stark
liable.
Hold his spot, Scoop?
It's going to become a really interesting discussion. Mitchell Stark, who, you know, for a long time now has been known as one of the premium bowlers in the world, but, you know, who in recent times has been getting a lot of his wickets, Jared, at the tail end.
And as I look up, Kane Richardson, who we spoke to only a couple of days ago, he's on screen on Fox Cricket. I mean, the question is, if it's not Mitchell Stark, who ends up bowling or taking his spot?
Yeah, and you know, there's going to be options. But on that, so Jared, when a footy club comes under pressure, we often look at the coach.
Mm.
I just wonder, and I don't know the answer to this, in Test cricket, like, what percentage of blame does Justin Langer take for this series defeat?
Scoop, I wouldn't have the faintest, to be honest.
No, I just think it's an interesting question.
He will assume a lot of responsibility because that's the sort of person he is. He'll be devastated with this one. It may well be since we re-emerged under him. Is it our first series loss on Australian soil?
Home soil? I reckon
it's got to be close. Anyway, it certainly feels as if that's the case.
No, in fact, he was coaching when we lost to India 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's only been in the job for how long?
No, I think he was coach then.
Yeah, but how long's he been in the job?
Oh, 2.5 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think everyone gave him 12 months leeway, got his act together, and the side started to come
given
good.
Given what he walked into, yes.
But this to me would be the first series that we've lost where we were undeniably short price favourites.
Mm.
I mean, the side that they went in with and the side that we went in with, It was, you know, Australia. India were $19 this morning, just to put into perspective. $19.
I was going to ask you off air if you knew what they were. Were they that far?
They were that far. I mean, no one gave them any choice. I saw Warnie and I think it was Mark Waugh talking about it at halftime with on Fox Cricket. And they basically said Australia, 35% chance of winning, draw about 50%, and India about a 15%, probably less.
Yeah.
So no one was
probably
giving
makes sense, even given at the 300.
Even at the end of the first session, they weren't giving India any chance. And yet 4 hours later, they've only lost how many wickets they lose? Seven. Mm. Or was it eight in the end?
No, seven. 18 balls to spare.
I mean, they just got it easily.
Well,
as Chetan has rightly pointed out, that's a test victory for the IPL because they went with a method that was honed in the IPL.
I still need 50 from 8 overs.
Yeah, but that 50 in the IPL off 8 overs, you're going to get that every day of the week.
No, that's right. Absolutely. They went into IPL mode.
Yeah.
And that didn't mean that they had to slog anything. It just meant that they had to pick their deliveries, which needed to hit boundaries.
But I'm not sure that the commentators picked up what Chetan picked up. They were just getting themselves into a position, like in the IPL, where they were prepared to have a crack at winning. And that's exactly what Pant did.
What an unbelievable series. Unfortunately, we're on the wrong side of that. And
he was good, our man Chetan, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's got to be number one, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was the chief. I think he is. He was extremely good, extremely knowledgeable.
Can we go back to the tennis just before we go to a break?
Okay.
Because I know that we the quarantine correspondent Barbora on before. We haven't actually heard what Roberto Bautista Agut actually said. This is him on, I think, at FaceTime with a journalist today. Lawrence, is that right?
Yeah, he was on over in Spain, I think.
Israeli TV.
Oh, Israeli
broke
TV,
this.
Right.
These people has no idea about tennis, about practice courts, has no idea about anything. So it's a completely disaster because of that, because the control of everything is not Tennis Australia, it's the people from the government. I did work in the room, but it's not the same. I was feeling very, very tight, and I cannot imagine staying 2 weeks like this. It's really, really tough. I take it easy, you know, these days, and have to work a lot mentally and be patient.
Not to make light of this at all, Jared, but I couldn't help finding a little bit funny that Roberto wouldn't have been the first person in the last 12 months to say about our government that they have no idea.
No, he was on the money there, but I've got to say that he wasn't on the money thinking that he's going to talk to some people in Israel and for it not to get back to Australia.
He would have known.
He's currently on the front page of both papers. Craig Tiley has responded. He's rejected the suggestions that the rules had changed. He's not happy players are going to social media. Victor Azarenka. Victoria Azarenka, or Vicka, as they call her. She has told her colleagues, get with it, guys. Get some perspective. Accept where you are. Adapt to where you are. And keep on moving.
Yep.
Which ultimately is the only thing they can do. I mean, there's a lot of people have been forced against their will to go into lockdown. My brother travels to France for his job. He resides in France, and every time he comes back to Australia to see his family, he's got to do 2 weeks of hard quarantine. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's brutal.
But, you know, you just suck it up, get on with it. And there's no other option to do it.
On that, Jared, two tennis players are among the four
that
tested positive in Victoria today. So the DHHS have just confirmed that. So, you know, I know a lot of the people in hard quarantine, as Barbora is, are close contacts.
Yeah.
But two more players have now tested positive.
The DHHS. If you were giving a sunscore scoop for the DHHS, I've only had one personal experience with them, and that was okay. But, gee, I tell you what, I've had a lot of close contacts that have had personal experience. And if Neil Roberts was giving the sun score out, as he used to do many years ago, I reckon the three would be about the number they'd get.
Haven't had a great year, the DHHS. Almost as bad a year as FINA had last year, I would think.
The DHHS, eh? Anyway,
they're sticking to a five-set tournament, by the way.
Well, that was just absolute crap from the players. I mean, give us a spell.
There was one player in the Herald Sun today who said that it had been talked about among the playing group, but I think it's talked about every year, if I'm brutally honest.
So the players, not only do they want to actually turn up, get $100,000 for losing in the first round, they want to actually, because they've had their pre-season slightly, and I'm talking slightly compromised, because... Can I put this into perspective? You go through a pre-season in the AFL. You start in November. You do all the bloody hard work because you may get a little twinge in a calf muscle or an Achilles or a quadricep in the final month. And if you do that and you have to have 2 weeks off...
Unlucky.
You're stiff, but you know you've done the work.
Yeah.
And so 2 weeks off, as Roger Rashid said last night, is not going to impact on you that greatly.
Overall fitness, yeah.
Particularly if you've got a week to get yourself ready. And these people are actually able to run. They're absolutely able to do burpees, and they're able to do vertical jumps. They can keep their legs in great nick. They could go from side to side to side to side to side till you're blue in the face. There's nothing else to do in the hotel room.
Yep.
So their legs should not be a problem.
No, it's a mental thing.
Mental thing. But, you know, so is everything in sport. Mm. Everybody's got this. Well, that's the problem. Not everybody's got the same problem, but a large majority have got it. Some are going to cope with it. Others won't. And good luck to those who deal with it.
I have a feeling that tennis is going to be on the agenda for our next guest, Ashley Brown, who's just about to join us. I just wonder how Bernie's day went today. Anyway, we might ask Ash. This is Sports Day. Don't go anywhere. Ash Brown from the AFL Record to join us next.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Kia. Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That is Red Energy. Of course, the man who knows all the insides and the outsides to the media and its interaction with sport is our own Ashley Brown, who's back at work for the AFL Record, and he's back at work here on Sports Day. Welcome back to you, Ashley, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys. Always good to be back with you talking all these things.
And it is amazing that we're going to digress to some degree. We normally focus on the great sport of AFL footy, but let's start with tennis and how the media and politics in particular have interacted. The sport and politics intermingling has probably never been so in your face as it has been over the last 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, the whole story around the Australian Open and the players doing the quarantine has been really interesting. I've enjoyed following the coverage from some of the overseas journals as well, and it's interesting. I don't think there's a lot of sympathy for the players from the overseas tennis media. You know, a guy like Ben Rothenberg from New York Times has been reporting this really well. And he's putting the overseas tennis fan in the eyes of the Melbourne tennis people. And I think he's basically telling the players they've got to suck it up and how lucky they are to be here given what Melbourne's been through.
Do you think that the politicians, and I'm talking the heavyweights here, are actually making hay while the sun shines? I think Dan Andrews has been under enormous pressure. And it was if the Joker and his requirements gave him the free kick to regain control of the argument. Of course, they've been under enormous heat because they're allowing infected tennis players into the state when your average punter who pays tax and land tax and rates in this city, he's not allowed out if he happened to get his timing wrong. And yet you can almost see the Premier just grab at this opportunity to have a decent crack at the Joker. And then, of course, Bill Shorten, who has re-emerged from the pack, and he's done so today with what's been described as a withering spray for tennis whingers.
Well, I haven't seen the Bill Shorten remarks, but certainly Djokovic has got no credibility whatsoever because he is, firstly, he's renowned, he's not an anti-vaxxer, Jared. He's certainly sceptical when it comes to vaccines. And then, of course, he was hosting a super spreader event in the European summer. So
yeah, that was a mistake, but that was definitely a mistake. But I think some of the stuff he asked for was reasonably credible. And the scoffing at his suggestion that we should be in houses with tennis courts probably was mainly done by people who didn't understand that that's exactly what they did in Wimbledon.
Yeah, and it's exactly what Matt Damon's doing right now.
Well, there was no Wimbledon this year. Oh, look, there's a couple of tennis-related issues from Djokovic that were probably fair to ask for. The thing I'm interested with the Australian Open is, I mean, what people know, and we love this tournament. We've taken to heart. Mm. The city stops for 2 weeks of the tennis, but it's just the year that the people of Melbourne have to endure the tennis as opposed to embrace it because they've got to play the tournament. I mean, I'm just fascinated to see what the rank and file people, apart from the diehard tennis people, what most Melbourne people think about the tennis being here this year. And, you know, is there sentiment for it not coming this year? I'm not quite sure. I can't quite read the room.
No, the room is definitely saying we shouldn't be having the tournament. I mean, as much as each and every poll is not scientific in the various outlets, when it's running at 75% to 25%, it's a fair indicator. Do you think that Tennis Australia and the Victorian government, who have both absolutely been desperate to put this event on, could actually rue the day that they made that decision?
Well, they'll rue it if there's an outbreak of the virus into the public as a result of being spread through the tennis. Absolutely, they'll certainly rue it because the people in Melbourne are fed up. They don't want to go through what we went through last winter. So they'll really be on the tenterhooks, as they say, to make sure that the players do what they're supposed to do and the tournament proceeds as it should. So it's a tough old, another week and a half with the players in quarantine before they come out. So it's going to be a really anxious time, I think, for the government and for Tennis Australia as they ride out this quarantine period.
Moving on, we've had a very interesting summer of cricket. Some people say it's been unbelievable. I've got to say I haven't been as enthralled with the cricket as some of the commentators tell me I should have been, but it's a funny sport at the present time. It seems to, for me personally, and I've spoken to a lot of people who seem to have a similar reaction, you wax and wane with how intensely you get into cricket. And I think right now I'm waning on the BBL. The Test cricket matches are always an in-and-out scenario. Right now, it's probably, you'd have to say on balance, it's been quite an interesting series.
I think there's huge divergence. I think the Test series has been wonderful. I think the BBL has just been mindless fodder for an evening. And, I still struggle to understand some of the new rules they bring in for every summer for the BBL. But the Test series has been quite captivating. I think, if you would have said that India, having been bowled out for 36 in the second innings of the first Test, would, be positioned now in the last session of the last Test, getting a chance to retain the Water Gavaskar Trophy, I think it's been a phenomenal performance by them because they usually don't play so well away from home. So I think it's been a really interesting Test series. But the summer cricket has a lot of things to work through, and the quality of playing the BBL is one of those. When do you play the one-day matches? We're going to have a farcical situation of two Australian teams playing overseas at different times in the next few weeks. The one-day team or the T20 team playing, I think, in New Zealand, what it is, and the Australian team playing and the Test team in South Africa, which I've can't quite get my head around. Maybe I'm a bit old-fashioned, but I always thought there was one Australian team.
So one final word, and that is that the Amazon trailers came out, which is going to give us an insight into each and every club, Ash, or just a number of clubs?
Just six clubs this year, in the series this year, making their markets called, and the teaser came out today, which I think you can drop on the AFL website and through Amazon. If it's half as good as what some of the overseas sporting documentaries Amazon have done, and the one on the Australian Test cricket team as well from last year, it'll be a fascinating series. I do know the access, at the time when journos were pretty much locked out of covering footy clubs because of the coronavirus, that didn't apply to the Amazon team who had access all areas past. So doing a bit of digging around that for the pre-season AFL record, speaking to some people involved, and I think it's going to be a really illuminating series. We're going to learn a lot more about the inner workings of AFL football from the documentary series, I think.
Was there anybody at the Kangaroos being followed? Because it would appear to me of all the clubs, it was the Kangaroos who probably had the most difficulty coping with the ravages of the hub.
Yeah, the Kangaroos made a complete hash of so much of last season. Unfortunately, the Kangaroos weren't one of the clubs. But I believe over the next two seasons, all clubs are going to feature. So either this year or next, the cameras will be behind the Kangaroos, at the Kangaroos. It might be a good topic point for us is to talk down the track is which six clubs would like them to focus on this year, which clubs we think are the ones they should be following. And it might be the most interesting to look at in 12 months' time.
Ash, great to have you on.
Thanks, guys. Good to be back.
Ashley Brown there from the AFL record.
There's a story you broke, wasn't it, the Amazon story?
Yeah, everyone said it was wrong. I copped a lot of heat for that, even though it wasn't that big a story.
Mate, you cop heat for everything. You just got to sit back and take the credits when I give them to you.
You know what? We've got it completely backwards in this country.
In what way?
Well, if I was anyone that was paying any money, including the money that this radio station pays for TV rights, for radio rights, or if I was Channel 7 or Fox, I'd be that pissed off. They pay so much money. And then Amazon come in and say, actually, we're going to have full access. Full access. The AFL say, we're getting a little bit of coin on the side, so why not?
Yes, I think that the clubs are at fault at this, and I stand to be corrected, but I would think that the clubs themselves are as guilty as anybody.
In fact, that's a good point. You're actually right. The clubs who, Lawrence, our producer, will ring up and say, we'd like to speak to Paddy Cripps.
Yep.
And they say, actually, we're not putting him up this week.
Clubs are getting a bit of coin, aren't they?
I think they're getting a little. They're getting a little.
You give the clubs a tickle, you're going to get a response. It's like when cricketers and footballers have books that they want to promote.
Yeah.
You get free access.
But LeBron James, biggest basketball in the world, walks off court, and every single journalist that's got accreditation gets to stand in the locker room next to his shower and interview him. Just backwards.
Well, it's going to happen here one day, Scoop. I'm not sure if it's for the betterment of the game. I've never been quite convinced that the open access is a good thing. I'm not sure that we learn anything about putting a microphone under a player's beak as he's running off the ground tells us anything, given that you get one question. And he gives you a answer.
That's not access, though, is it? The stuff of them walking off at halftime, the cameras like it because it looks good because they're on the ground. They don't tell us anything. I tell you who told us something. Geez, Barbora was good again today.
Oh, Barbora.
Huge.
I had a good chat, as I told Barbora, to Peter Johnson. I didn't give her exactly what Jono told me, Jono used to be the vice president. Well, he was the vice president of women's tennis worldwide.
Yep.
And he basically just told us that she's solid in everything. That's why she made the semi-final of
Wimbledon
2 years ago. And she won the Wimbledon doubles title with Shea Su Wei.
Wow. I can't believe you remember that.
Yeah. It took me about 10 times to get it through. The Taiwanese young lady. And she'll be going, as she told us earlier, she's going into battle with her again this season.
We need a break on Sports Day. Melbourne City captain Scott Jamieson is going to join us next.
Welcome back to Sports Day. You're listening to Scoop McClure and Jared Healy, and we're here for Kia and Red Energy. And Scott Jamieson is well known to us all, Jamo, the Melbourne City captain, who's been a regular on the program and a good man. And he joins us after
Jared, just before you introduce
Melbourne
him.
City beat Western United at Amy Park on Saturday night. Without the services of the skipper.
That's right. I'm surprised that we've been given Scott's services. I thought the red card that he received in game one would have precluded him. It was a red card for media as well, but clearly not.
No, not at all. You've got your wish, and that is open access. Welcome to you, Scotty, and hope you're feeling well and training ever that harder just to make up for the missed match.
Yeah, afternoon, boys. Yeah, no... Just because you get a red card doesn't mean you can't front up to the media and admit you're wrong. So, no, it was, it's good that you have got me on. And also even better that we got 3 points Saturday night without a few of us missing, which is good.
Okie doke. Let's just get down to basics. A question without notice. You're fellow professional sportsman. Our former leader of the ALP federally, Bill Shorten, who may well be your local member, by the way, has come out and savaged the tennis players, saying they're shocking whingers. How would you describe the tennis players as we speak?
Yeah, I stand on the side of the fence, which is, you know, it's a case of you obviously got given the rules and regulations coming into the country and, you know, going off the information, if people didn't choose to tune into these phone calls, apparently that Craig Tilley, put out and said gave the rules and regulations, and then that's your fault. As a state and as a group of people, as Victorians have struggled, we're not going to let that slip because we have some prima donnas coming in and complaining about a load of crap. And you know, when it comes to people's girlfriends and wives are complaining about stuff that they're complaining about, I think, we just let them talk crap, but they give them airtime because they're useless.
See, this is why he's captain, Jared. That's right. And this is why we get him on strong leadership.
Absolutely. Straight to the point as well. I was going to ask you about Bernard Tomic's girlfriend, Vanessa Sierra, and the fact that she hasn't been able to have her hairdresser wash her hair. So that's problematic. But I think you've actually addressed this without even going there. Tell us about life under the new coach.
Yeah, it's going good so far. Obviously, we've had an interrupted start to the season as such. You know, we've played three games in the space of about 6 weeks. And when you're suspended, it's a long body 2-3 weeks. So it's been positive, but, not amazing. Obviously, with the loss against Adelaide and, my red card being pretty much an evidential factor in the loss, that was disappointing. But we've backed it up well with a good win against our local rivals in Western United, and unfortunately we have to wait for another 2 weeks for a game, but I guess that's just where it is at the moment.
Yeah, such is the craziness, Jared, with the fixture. Their boys don't actually play until they play Perth, I think, on January 31, so another 12 days.
January 31?
Yeah, another 12 days.
You should be entitled to kick your heels up if that was the case.
I would think so. Scott, can I just ask, I'm not sure how many times you've been sent off in your professional career, but it's... You know, we concentrate so much on AFL, particularly during the season, and it's something that's been talked about sometimes. I think Jared's actually pro the red card, are you not?
Absolutely, the red card.
What is it actually like on a personal level, being sent off and then I guess, post that, missing the next game and dealing with that, particularly when you're skipper? I imagine it can't be easy.
No, I mean, I'm close to 300 games now, and that's my first red card ever.
Oh wow!
I've accumulated 5 yellow cards over a season and had a suspension, but never ever have I received a red card. And that was my first 2 or 3 weeks ago to Adelaide, and no, it wasn't enjoyable. There was a few text messages to the missus admitting my wrongs straight after it, and the realization of what was happening. But it's something that I guess it's a cliche, but I guess I have learned from it. You know, I don't want to be in a position where, first and foremost, I let down, you know, the people close to me, but also my teammates and the staff. But it's, as I said, it's even worse when you have, you know, 2-3 weeks in between games. Mm. You're essentially ruled out. So you're not as such competing for a position. You're just trying to get through the days and weeks and obviously help the team. But yeah, it's been frustrating, and it's one that I take on the chin and I was responsible for. So there's no one else to blame.
A lot of people got a blind spot about the red card in the AFL, particularly given that the level at which I think it would be introduced is at such an extreme level, not the level that you can get red carded for in soccer or world football, if you like. But if you had a red card in the AFL and you did it for the Barry Hall type incident, well, you know, you got time to even have a look at a video to see whether or not this person should be off, which absolutely you should be straight away. You've lost your right to be playing football, in my view, if you can hit somebody like that. But have you ever seen too many red cards that were inappropriately thrown up in the air?
Yeah, I mean, going off the AFL, boys, and what you touched up, I mean, I understand that, you know, when you're in the AFL world, you can mouth off to the umpire, which, I mean, that was why I got my first yellow card, albeit it was for the right reason, but I probably did it in the wrong tone and manner. But you can get a 50-metre penalty for that, but you can shirt punch the hell out of someone. And essentially toe the line there. I've always had admiration for AFL players who can get continually shirt punched and not just whack the bloke straight out. Some of these shirt punches are very close to straight out jabs that, you know, Conor McGregor would be proud of. So it's an interesting one with the AFL boys as such. But yeah, in terms of football, yeah, there is over the years, you've seen some happy red cards, especially now with VAR coming into it. It gets a little bit complicated, but look, as pretty much like politicians, you can't please everyone. You know, as a sport, we've campaigned for this video technology, and now we've got it, we hate it. Yep. So you can't please everyone. It is what it is.
And Jamie McLaren, he's away to a pretty good start.
Certainly is, boys. Certainly is. I'm very good friends with him, and he's the most he's got the most self-belief going around. But you know, there was a few murmurs and a few rumblings that you know, he was on a barren spell, and that was only two games. So he answered the critics in that sense. And you know, hopefully when it rains, it pours with J-Mac. He goes on a run, but he's got to wait 2 weeks for a game. That's an unfortunate thing.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for everyone that we all have to wait. And just tell us about Nuno Reis, your new Portuguese signing. People would know him as playing for Panathinaikos and most recently Levski Sofia.
Yeah. You boys know as much as I do. He has a fantastic Wikipedia page. He's handsome.
He's a handsome man, actually. That's a very good point.
He is, tall and brunette. But no, I have no information. Unfortunately, in a normal world, I would, because he'd be here and he would have flown in on, you know, he would have flown from Europe on Saturday and arrived here on early Monday morning. But in this COVID world, I think he's still in quarantine, or he's just started quarantine. But in terms of, you know, bringing to our team, yeah, we're a bit light in the centre-back position. You know, obviously Curtis and Roston are our two senior professionals that play that position. And Roston going down early in the game on Saturday night, albeit we had young Kieran Stokes who made his debut and was admirable and was very strong in that position. But we do need more bodies that can play that position. So, you know, big Nuno can do that.
Scott, great to have you on. Enjoy the next 12 days. I'm sure you've earned yourself a small break, if nothing else.
Cheers, boys. I'll go back to the gym.
Get back in. Start punching out a few whites. A few bicep curls.
He's good on you, Scott. Scott Jamison there, the City captain. He's walked out of the gym for us and gone straight back in. That's how committed that man is. And he joined us for McDonald's, where the saucy McRib and legendary El Maco are back.
Well, he's lucky, isn't he? Because he's working with a dark, swarthy, well-built Portuguese, and I'm working with a bloke with a red moustache.
Jeez, that wasn't even a backhander. That was a frull. Look in your eye and clip you.
I didn't even look in your eye. I turned away.
This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that is Red Energy. The Eagles were huge last year, and the Dockers are potentially going to be finalists this year.
You're big on the Dockers.
They've got a good list.
You're massive.
They've got to start. They've got to learn how to score. And I think that was one of the great myths of 2020 was just how much they'd improved under the new coach when we know they'd improved, but their scoring hadn't improved.
Yeah, they're playing well.
Everybody in Western Australia, it seemed, wanted to get rid of Ross Lyon. And the reason was because they can't score. Mm. And yet their scoring didn't improve under the new coach. That said, a lot's going well over there. And if there is a story to be broken there, Jordan McArdle, I should say, has got the score on the board.
At the West.
But let's hope he's not just a young 2 or 3 year wonder. He's now moving into the senior ranks.
He's
got to do it on a regular basis.
He joins us online. Jordan, welcome to Sports Day. I think this is your debut.
I think it is, guys. I don't mind that introduction as well, but it's maybe got a little bit of pressure, but we'll see how we go. So far, so good in 2021.
Okay, well then, why was everybody writing up the Dockers last year as to how much they've improved and their ball movement when they didn't score?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That I have fallen for the trap under Justin Longmuir. It seems like there's plenty of light at the end of the tunnel, and I felt like he did a great job in their first year. But one player I reckon would have helped their cause is Alec Waterman. They showed him a little bit of interest ahead of the national and rookie drafts. But yeah, it looks like he's going to be heading east in the next week with a train on invite to Essendon.
So Jordan, tell us about that. You broke this story today. Alec Waterman, of course, son of Chris Jared, who
Muddy Waterman,
well. Yep. In the late 80s and mostly 90s.
Yeah, in the Premiership era.
The first Premiership era. The West Coast Eagles. So his son, Alec, who I didn't realise, I thought he'd only been on the list for 1 year, Jordan, but in fact he'd been there for 2 years.
It was 2 years, so 2015 and 2016. He got granted leave because of his illness. He was struck down by glandular fever, which really knocked him for six. So I think it was December 2015. He was granted leave and didn't play a game at all for West Coast, but not even their affiliate side at the time, East Perth. So it was a pretty sad story. Alec Waterman, he's one of the best kids you'll ever meet, and super talented as well. I remember interviewing him probably 2017, and he obviously hadn't played a game in nearly 2 years and was just working part-time at a pizza shop. And he was saying he had his good days and his bad days. Some days he was that exhausted he couldn't even get out of bed. So it's been one of those journeys that I've followed for quite a long time. And the back end of last year, he really looked ready for Claremont to take that next step and get a second chance in the AFL. He kicked 26 goals in a 10-game season, including 7 across 2 finals for the Tigers. So he really lifted them to that grand final. And I'm stoked for him that he's going to have a chance to train with Essendon over the next 6 weeks and a real opportunity to get a spot on their list.
Jordan, Adrian Dodoro has been looking under rocks right around Australia looking for a big-bodied midfielder. I've seen him up in Newcastle. I've seen him at Nauru Reef and Ningaloo Reef at the same time, looking for that big-bodied replacement for Job Watson. Do you think he may have found him?
Well, I don't know. Alec Waterman started as a big-bodied midfielder, but I think he'd be more suited as that high half forward. He showed so much in that role for Claremont, but I guess if he does end up getting picked up by Essendon and does get a couple of big pre-seasons under his belt, he certainly could. Either way, he's ready-made for the AFL. He's an absolute beast of a kid. And, he's not a kid anymore. He's 24. But, he's got that sort of big body that's AFL-ready. And, the amount of players Essendon lost over the off-season, especially in their forward line, I reckon he'd slot nicely across half-forward for the Bombers.
So, Jordan, who will finish higher, West Coast or the Fremantle Dockers?
I think West Coast this season, but yeah. I reckon 2022 or 2023, I reckon that's when the Dockers might overtake their big brother.
And have you got an affinity either way?
I am a stranger, and I actually go to Port Adelaide, so at least can't get in any trouble for being biased for either side.
No,
so,
you just get bagged by both. That's fantastic.
That keeps me out of trouble.
The Chief of the West is a Port Adelaide supporter. I've heard it all now, Jared.
That's quite unusual. Willy Rioli is one of the really disappointing stories in football over the last couple of years. It's been a complete disaster as far as Asada is concerned, just letting him just hang in the wind. When are we going to get a decision there?
We're hopeful in the next month, but it seems like forever, doesn't it? He's already been provisionally suspended for 16 months and counting, which, you know, it's not really good enough, is it? You'd expect a result a lot sooner than that. I know we've had COVID and everything like that, but, yeah, it seems a little bit of a common theme, unfortunately. But, yeah, the Eagles seem to have got, you know, plenty of insurance in case, you know, the worst-case scenario that Willie really does get suspended for 3 or potentially 4 years, which will rule him out of this season and next. So there's another young kid out at WA, Nick Martin, his name is. He's a 19-year-old out of Suva. He had a real breakout season.
Any relation to Jack Martin?
Last year. No. He's a local Perth kid, so not from the regional areas of WA like Jack Martin, who's got a, you know, background from Broome and Geraldton. So he's a medium-sized forward, and every chance to train with West Coast, you know, as early as the next couple of weeks. So watch this space.
Jordan, great to have you on. I'm sure it won't be the last. Looking forward to chatting throughout the year.
No worries, guys. Anytime.
Jordan McArdle there from the West Australian broke the Alec Waterman story today.
Good story.
So just looking back to December 16 of last year, West Coast Eagles statement. Willie Rioli today appeared via video link from Darwin at an AFL anti-doping tribunal. The hearing was completed, but the outcome will not be known for some time. Until a conclusion has been reached, neither the club or Willie can make any comment. That is an absolute disgrace.
It's been that going on and on and on.
Has ruined that young man's career for the best part of a year and a half. It's just a complete farce, and the punishment, Jared, does not fit the crime, unfortunately.
No, it's been a real shame. He panicked when he was tested. Did the wrong thing, but yeah, mainly...
I don't think anyone ever disputed that he did the wrong thing.
No.
And should be punished for it.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles will learn a lesson too, not having somebody there with him at the time.
Agreed, yep.
But that said, this kid needs an answer so he can get on with his life.
And we need to get on with our nights because that is the end of the show. We're coming up towards 8 o'clock. Jared and I will be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Sports Day.